name here, right? So Revelation 22:7, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Skip ahead to verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. And then verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are coming back soon. We thank you that we have been blessed, the opportunity to know you, to be in relationship with you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would use me and the words that you put on my heart to share. That you would bless us with ears, minds, hearts that are ready, willing, to be open and available to your Spirit moving through us, Lord. Amen. So when I think of Jesus coming back soon, there can be a small amount of anxiety associated with that, right? Because it's a surprise. We don't know when it's going to happen. And surprise things, they can be good, but they're not always good. One of the biggest surprise things in my life that was not necessarily good and was a constant source of stress for me was inspections, right? Anybody at a job where an inspector comes through and they take a look and they got to make sure everything's good? I worked over 10 years. I was a general manager for Pizza Hut, and that was a daily reality. You didn't know when the inspector was going to walk through that door. And you needed to be ready. And I mean, the health inspector came and you know, you make sure the food safety, that's a pretty standard thing. But the Pizza Hut, the ServSafe inspector, that guy, I mean, he really checked everything from the way that you greeted him at the door, the way you answered the phones, how you made the pizza, how you cut the pizza, how you put it in the box, all of that. We were judged and graded on every single piece. And not just me, but everyone who worked in there with me, right? We had to do everything by the book. And so to be ready every single day for that inspector to come, you don't know if it's today, tomorrow, months from now. That was something that was a little stressful part of the job there. But you always knew that he was coming, right? And that's the same tension that Revelation 22 is giving us, but on an eternal scale. Because Jesus is coming back soon, it should change the way that we live right now. This morning, I'm going to look at three ways in which that's going to change or should change the way in which we live right now. So the first way here, because Jesus is coming soon, we must live ready. And that's right from that Revelation 22:7. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. You see, Jesus' return is certain. He says right there, behold, I am coming soon. Repeats it three times. If you get repetition, that usually means it's important, right? Something we should pay attention to. And a lot of times in prophecy, maybe you can get mixed up. What's real? What's symbolic? There's nothing symbolic here, right? This is real. Jesus is not giving us the possibility. He's making us a promise. The return of Christ is certain. We're going to look at a few other passages that are going to point us towards that same fact there. Let's look at Acts 1:11. And said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So his return will be visible and bodily, right? This is right after, so, you know, Jesus gives them Great Commission, they're on the beach, right, and he's going back up into heaven. The angels are the ones saying this, right? Jesus has just ascended into heaven. The angels are telling the disciples he will return in the same way. So it was his body, right? And he ate some fish with them. Put your finger in his hands, right? He was bodily there. It was also visible. They saw it. They watched it happen. And it was unmistakable. This was something that there was no, oh, maybe he went up. No, they knew. They saw. They witnessed what happened. And it's going to be the same way. The same Jesus who left in glory is coming back in glory. And his return will not be hidden. We will know when the King has come. His return is also personal, and it is for his people. If we look at John 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is not distant, right? He is coming personally. And he says it there. He mentions you a lot. I believe that's a plural you as well as a singular you. He means you as in his church, his people, but he also means you, you personally. You, his child. He is coming to bring us home, and there is comfort in his return. Jesus is not just coming back to rule as coming king, but he's coming back to bring his people home. Now, his return, it will be sudden, and it should produce readiness. Let's look at Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The issue is not knowing when. You know, we don't know when. I think if we knew when, if I knew when, I'm a procrastinator, right? Do my best work at the last minute, I swear, right? If we knew when, we might put it off. We might wait. So we don't need to know when. We shouldn't know when. The issue is, will we be ready when he comes? That Revelation 22:7, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, right? Those who are ready, who are prepared. Jesus didn't tell us he was coming so we could try and dissect the scripture and figure out when that was going to be. He told us so that we would be ready when he does return. Going back to that same Pizza Hut inspection scenario, right? So how did we stay ready? You know, I tried to do my best of teaching everybody the right way to do things. And, you know, you get people who might say to me, oh, well, you know, John, I know the right way to do it. I do. I know the right way. But this way, the way I like to do it, this is easier. But I promise, when the inspector shows up, I'm going to do it the right way. How often do you think that happened, right? That's not what happens. We put in a lot of work in daily habits to make sure that we were ready when the inspector came. Check the temperatures, make sure all the dates are right, clean stuff. You can't wait for him to pull up into the parking lot to say, well, now's a good time to scrape that grease behind the fryer. It's not going to work. There are standards in place that we needed to uphold on a daily basis. You don't rise to the moment when it happens. Most of us will fall back on our habits. We do what's natural, what we're used to doing. And our walk with Christ is no different. That daily faithfulness, that matters. That's what's going to prepare us and make us ready. Prayer matters. Scripture matters. Obedience matters. And holiness matters. Because when Jesus comes back, you're not suddenly going to become this person that you've never been becoming. readiness for Christ is built in daily faithfulness. And Revelation 22 doesn't just tell us that Jesus is coming soon. It also tells us that when he comes with reward in hand. Point two here, because Jesus is coming soon, we must live with eternity in view. Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Jesus' return, it reminds us that heaven and hell are real and that what we do now carries eternal weight. You see, Jesus' return will bring separation. I'm going to look at Matthew 25. Now, there was a lot of verses. These ones are not on the screen, so you just have to kind of follow along here, and I won't read the whole thing, but we're looking at Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This is Jesus. He's teaching, and he's trying to explain to the people what it's going to look like at the end. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're going to skip ahead, but he says, when I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, you gave me water. Then he turns to the left side, and he says, for he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. Skipping ahead there, verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's a pretty good picture there. The sheep and the goats, eternal life, eternal punishment. Because Jesus is not only returning to reign, but he is also returning to judge rightly. And he tells us in there, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. Jesus' return, it will reveal what truly mattered most to us. Because eternity is not symbolic. Eternity is permanent. This Matthew 25:41, this verse points directly to the existence of hell. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Revelation 21:4, we get a good picture of heaven, also a real place. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Heaven is real, hell is real, eternity is not temporary, and we're not going to get a second chance. Forever is closer than we think. And knowing that should change how we live now. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Paul's saying, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. So it's not about a panic there. It's not that kind of fear. This is about responsibility, understanding what is truly at stake. Eternity changes what matters now. I'm a big fan of zombies. Yeah. Movies, games, books. I love zombies. I just like to talk about them. My wife and I frequently will do some like thought exercises, you know, about the end of the world and the apocalypse, and what would we do if zombies were real? We have fun with it, right? And you know, during the zombie outbreak, if you're not familiar, right, maybe I'm giving an analogy that you're not familiar with, right, there's a virus and it infects people and they become living dead and everybody's afraid and society collapses, right? And so we like to talk about what would we do in those scenarios. And I'm always trying to come up with like, we're going to Walmart, we're going to barricade that place, they got so much stuff, we'll be set, we got all the supplies, we got people out on the roof, like we've got this. Lexi, she said, this is the end of the world, the zombies are taking over, she's just going to go lay in the middle of the road, zombies, come get me, that's it, I'm done, I don't want to live like this, right? She's just giving up. But what if, and this changes it, right, when we play out this scenario, what if there's a cure? Right? There's no cure. Okay, give up, I guess, right? Go see Jesus. It's done. But what if there's a cure? Would that change how you looked at that? And if you had the cure, would you give it to others? Would you risk going out into the world? You got the cure. You can get it to yourself, your family, friend, right? Whoever's with you. You guys are good. Would you risk going back out into the world where there's more dangers beyond just the zombies, to be able to spread the cure? That's much like the state of our world, right? Because sin has infected every heart. Everyone is infected, and death is real. It's a reality. We do have the cure, right? The gospel is the only cure. We have it. And what are you going to do with that cure? Are you going to sit on it where you're safe in your bunker with your friends and family? I got it. I'm good. I got the cure. Or will you risk going out into the world to spread the gospel, to spread the cure? The gospel is too good and eternity is too serious for us to keep it to ourselves. So don't put off repentance and don't delay obedience. Don't live like this world is all that there is. We need to stop living like there will always be more time. Because once you realize that eternity is real, you can't help but start seeing people differently. Leads us to number three here. Because Jesus is coming soon, we must live on mission. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the end of Revelation, second to last verse in the whole Bible. And Jesus is the one saying, "Surely I am coming soon." This is the Apostle John, right? He's writing this book, and he says, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." That should be all of our responses, right? Like, you're coming soon? All right, amen, hallelujah, let's go. We're ready. But unfortunately, while that's the right response for the believer, and we have hope in Christ's return, unfortunately, not everyone is ready. Not everyone is going to respond that way. The hope of Christ's return, that joy that we experience in saying, "Amen, come Lord Jesus," that needs to inspire us to live in a sense of urgency for those that do not have the cure, for those who do not know the gospel. Because God's heart is still to save. We look at 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Peter says that the Lord is not slow, he is patient. This time, right, why has Jesus not come back already? He said he was coming back soon. That was a couple thousand years ago. Is he slow? No. This is not a delay, right? The Lord is showing mercy. Every day that Christ has not returned is another day of grace for those who do not yet know him. What feels to us like a delay is actually mercy. God's mission, it moves through his people. Let's look at Romans 10:14-15. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How will they hear without someone preaching? God's plan for reaching people has always involved his people. The gospel moves forward through ordinary Christians who are willing to speak. When I was in college, I walked away from the Lord. I took some time away. And in the summer before college, I don't even think I had yet even really walked away, but there were signs, right, that I was drifting away. And someone in this church, it was a mother of one of my best friends, she sent me a letter in the mail. And that she cared enough to write that letter and wanted to put it out there. That letter was telling me the truth about myself and the gospel and God's plan for me. And I did not listen. I did not heed the warnings or the truth that was in that letter. It took me years to come back. But that letter always stuck with me. Over the years, God continued to draw me back in, and one of the things that always popped back into my head was this letter that was written to me. I saved, actually still have that letter. It was that important. If I really didn't care, I would have thrown it away. But I saved it, and it continued to remind me that God still cares, that God wants me. God used that letter. I've never told her this story. She still probably doesn't to this day know the impact that that letter had. I said nothing. I did nothing. It was years, but that letter had a big impact. She needed to speak. God used that, whether she knew it or not. You don't know what God might use, how God might use you, unless you choose to speak. Who in your life is not ready yet? Who's not going to be saying, come, Lord Jesus? Who has God already placed in your path? We've been talking about the ways that God puts people in contact with you. We don't need to wait for the perfect moment. We don't need to wait until life slows down. So far, it's only sped up, so I don't think it's going to get any easier. And we don't need to wait until it feels easier. It's always going to be tough. You don't know how God might use you when you make yourself available. And if Jesus is coming back soon, we cannot afford to stay silent. Because Jesus is coming back soon, we need to live ready. We need to live with eternity in view. We need to live on mission. Jesus came once to save, and Jesus is coming again to reign. Are you ready? Are the people around you ready? Because Jesus is coming back soon, it changes everything. We're going to listen to a song under the same title. Just want you to listen to it, reflect on it. Think about what God's saying to you.
Get a house just to lay in a bed so we can scroll the phone till we're sick in the head. We're all throwing stones till somebody's dead. But I wonder what we'd do if we knew. Something shifted in the air. We all felt it together everywhere. So many years we just sat back and stared. But I wonder what we'd do if we knew. Jesus is coming back. So coming back soon. I can feel it in my bones. The day
is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Coming back soon. If every knee's gonna bow, why not here, why not now? If every tongue will confess, why not here in this breath? If it could come back to is coming back soon.
Welcome to Wix Harmony. Take the speed of AI and pick.
We should be excited, right? Jesus is coming back soon. That song should get us pumped up and ready. It should inspire us to live with that sense of urgency. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that it doesn't end here, that you've gone ahead and prepared a place for us. We thank you that you love the world enough to delay your coming back so that everyone would have the opportunity to choose you. Lord, I pray for all of us that as we live our lives, we would live ready, and that we would share the good news of you with others. That the reality of eternity would be so apparent to us, we cannot help but share the cure of the gospel. Lord, give us hope, peace, confidence in you to go about our days and our lives serving you and always pointing towards you. Amen. Thank you, guys.